Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Woohoo! It is our monthly update with our good friend and local farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing well. You sound a little nasally. Are you feeling okay?
Oh, I'm going to live, probably. It's probably all the dust.
I'm probably going to live. All the dust. Oh, speaking of that, Channel 3 had done a story maybe a week or two ago about how the heat was really bad for the local farming situation, the kind of the drought conditions. And, you know, I know on the one hand, like cotton needs all of the heat. We've talked about the heat units many times, but I'm worried about like your peanuts and your corn and stuff like that. So how is the heat affecting y'all?
Well, it's affecting me pretty bad, and it's affecting my crops for sure. But no, you know, last time we talked about the heat, and you know, we talked, like you said, the heat units and such. But since we've talked last time, even though, you know, you might have gotten a little thunderstorm sometime along at your house in the last month or so, in our area there's been very, very little rain, and unfortunately, I've got to report that, you know, it looks like our crops have taken a substantial hit this year. Our yields are going to be down drastically. All the heat and the dry weather, what happens, you know, this plant's made to stay alive and produce fruit, whether it's cotton or peanuts or whatever. And so as the plant begins stressing, if it gets to a certain point, it's going to try to protect whatever fruit is on there and quit putting on more.
Okay.
So that's what's happened. You know, basically the peanuts and cotton both, you know, there was a lot of rain earlier in the season. So to begin with, it looked like we were going to have a really, really good crop. And then as the rain quit and the high temperatures and such hit it as well, it started throwing off fruit that wasn't mature that was on there. So, you know, usually there's constantly fruit being put on these plants until harvest season. A lot of the immature fruit has now been thrown off, so there's basically just one small crop that's left on these plants. And you know, a lot of these plants, you could ride down the road and see a field that just looks dead, just like your grass in the yard does if you don't have irrigation on it. And when that happens, you know, if it's like that for more than just a few days, and it's been like that for a few weeks now, you're really taking a hit. So I estimate that our yields may be down, be as much as cut in half this year.
Ugh.
And we've talked before with the high input prices that we have now. You know, you basically have to hit a home run every year just to break even. So, unfortunately, I think we're going to take a pretty big hit this year.
Now, I just to make sure I'm hearing you properly, are you telling me, I mean, I understand that about the peanuts and corn, but you're telling me that even the cotton is in that same situation where it's going to be significantly under just because of the heat and drought conditions?
Yes, it's significant. This is one of those years that I anticipate this is going to be one of those that you'll be telling your grandkids about. Remember back in 23 when it didn't rain all summer? That's going to be one of those deals, you know, that's going to take people. You know, an event like this can take you 10 years or longer to pay out of.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, yeah, I know you and I have talked. Yeah, my goodness. Well, you and I mean, many times you and I have talked about how, for example, this is a very wet area. It's one of the wettest areas in the country. And as a result, you don't have an irrigation system. You don't have, you know, you go in the Midwest and you see all of the, you know, the giant water spreaders that, you know, travel around and create irrigation for the crops, and even, you know, ground-based irrigation. Like, you just don't have any of that because it's never like this, right?
Correct. It's, you know, 1 out of 10 years or so you'll have a pretty dry year, and Don't get me wrong. There's some little scattered pockets here or there that have gotten rain. That'll be maybe an average year, if that. But for the most part, you know, I would say probably at least two-thirds to three-quarters of our county here is in what I would say an extreme drought. I know the other people that really do that for a living, they would say something different. But the way it's affected our crops, I would say about three-quarters probably of our county is going to be in a really, really severe situation this year with their harvest, with their yields.
So what does that do to, I mean, you said it'd be 10 years climbing out of this hole financially. What does that do to the always problem of, you know, people who don't want to do this or kids who are not growing up to do this? You know, that the, you know, you got to replace your crops every year, but you got to replace your farmers every generation. And, you know, what does this kind of an incident do for that?
Well, I don't know that. It will call out some people, for lack of a better term. You know, some people might not be able to survive this, you know, because we've had some, I think back to 20 is when Sally came, and that really hurt us. Between Sally and then the wet weather that just stayed with us after Sally, you know, for about a month, it basically ruined our crops, what we had made that year. And we haven't had a really good year in quite a while. So everybody's pretty much burned through all their spending money or money that they've put up from good crops and years before. But getting back to your question, every farmer that's out there knows this is part of it. It could be a hurricane. It could be a drought. It could be the commodity prices. It can be so many different things that are out of your control. And like we've talked about before, we're now at the time where we've got the maximum input in this crop. If this drought had started at the beginning of the season, we wouldn't have put so much money into this crop. But, you know, early on, this crop looked really good. So if it needed something, you gave it to it.
Yeah.
Whatever it cost, you know. And so now we're at our maximum input and basically finding out it's, you know, even if it did start raining now, it would basically be too late to turn things. It could help things a little bit, but it'd be too late to turn things around.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is if rain at this point would be helpful, and it sounds like it's kind of too far gone. It would save it a little bit, but not substantially. You know, it's funny, it's Labor Day. You all get to take holidays off, though, right, when you're farming? You don't have to do anything on the holidays?
Yeah, every day is a holiday here.
See, I told you.
We barely work at all.
Well, right. You program the spreader and you put in you put in the codes and you just let it do its thing, and then you pick it up 4 months later for harvest season. That's, you know, it's easy being
a
farmer.
Exactly.
hey, I you know, not to dwell on this negative, but man, this is like, for most of us, you know, we don't think about this too often, but then, you know, for about 8 minutes here on a Monday, you know, the world is collapsing for our local farmers. And I mean, you know, we don't talk too much about it, but farming is stressful. It's difficult. There's mental health issues connected with this. You know, even, you know, there can be depression connected with this. And, you know, you're always faced with things that are outside of your control. You're always faced with, my God, there's nothing I can do about this. And even what I can do isn't going to matter all that much. How do people handle like a year like this?
It's tough, and it's interesting that you bring that up, but it's tough. You know, mental health, farming's kind of a tough deal, right? I mean, you deal with a bunch of good old country boys, country boy can survive mentality. And for the most part, that's true. But when things are so out of your control, it is extremely, extremely stressful. You know, like we've talked about the weather, we can do every single thing to the best of our ability possible, and then the weather turn out too wet or too dry or too hot or too cold or a hurricane or whatever, and it's completely out of your control, and it's very stressful. And we've talked about the extreme amounts of money that it takes to produce a crop every year. There's no room for error, and that, I wouldn't call that an error, but it is in this instance. There's no room for any hiccups. And the next thing you know, you don't have money. You're going to lose your farm. You don't have money to pay any of your bills. And I'm not talking about your small everyday bills. I'm talking about repaying millions of dollars every year that you put into this crop to try to get it to grow. So it's very stressful. And then actually in the last probably 3 to 4 years in the agricultural circle, mental health has been talked about a lot. For everyone's reference, the suicide rate among farmers is about 3.5 times higher than it is for your general population.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just that in itself shows you how stressful farming is, and that most farmers, they feel like they should be able to handle that. They feel like, hey, I got myself into this. I'm going to get myself out of it. Things snowball. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to get help. And the next thing you know, there's been a suicide. So that's something that's really being talked about more now, and trying to get people to open up about it and give them avenues to get help and things like that. But I do think that in this instance, this year in our area, that's something that's you're going to be needing to check on your neighbors a bunch. It's going to be one of those kind of years.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, you go to church with folks, you see folks at the store maybe, but, you know, ask and listen and offer to help and just be there and be a neighbor, I guess, this year, right?
Yeah. Or just realize, man, and that goes with anybody. You never know what somebody else is dealing with behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's true.
Just be good to them. Just check on them and be genuine about it. How are things going? What can I do to help? You know, those type of things. So yes, it's a very big deal, and I feel like we're going to, there's going to be some mental health problems this year, just strictly from the financial impacts that people are going to feel in our area.
And I know, look, I know you're a man of faith, and, I don't even have to ask. I know that's a big part of how you deal with it, but and I know a lot of farmers are too. But I can barely imagine trying to struggle through it with that. I can't imagine the people that are trying to struggle through it without that to lean on. And man,
isn't that the truth? If I didn't have God, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I'd be the biggest loser there is. So he's powerful and he takes care of us. And we've been in so many situations like this over the years where you just almost feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel or no way out. He always provides a way. So for that, we can't be more blessed than what we are.
Well, I appreciate that, Ryan. And we will be praying for you. You know, I don't know what the solution looks like or what intervention could take place, but man, it's a very sobering report today. And, you know, I hate to have to be the sort of the bearer of all of that news for folks, but I hate to have it happening to you and to your fellow farmers as well, because that's it's just awful to imagine. We always kind of end with a farm fact. Do you have one for us this week, Ryan?
Yeah, we didn't get into the corn too much. I was going to talk a little bit about it, but
is your corn coming in? Are you harvesting? Where are you at?
We're about 2/3 of the way done with harvest. One quick thing, we did our variety trials the other day, and it's just so interesting that the only difference in the field, we had 12 different varieties, and the only difference was the type of seed or the hybrid that we used in each of those varieties. There was a 64 bushel difference in just which variety you picked.
Huh.
So the research we do helps us all in our local area to hone in on what we need to make the best crop possible. So we're all making a difference slowly but surely.
Yeah, and you know, it's something you and I have never talked much about, but you know, if you look back at the number of people who were farming at the turn of the 1900s and the number of people in the country, and then you think about how many more people we have in the country today and how many fewer farmers we have because of things like, you know, agricultural science, crop yields, and, you know, more efficient ways of farming. And I mean, technology across the board has, you know, made it dramatically different. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Please keep him in your prayers. Keep all of your fellow farmers in your prayers. And if you know one, talk to him, check in on him, just tell him you love him and you're thinking about him. Ryan, thanks for what you do. Thanks for clothing and feeding my kids and for helping us understand what life on the farm is like, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having us, and I hope everybody has a great week.